us stand for the reading of God's holy word, the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, number 77. We're still drilling down on that, even though we are providing encouragement from the Word of God, from Daniel, regarding the Daniel fast. Daniel fast encouragement message number 13. Because I do believe, along with Rick Warren and Dr. Amen, this wonderful biblical fast has to be a part, or should be a part, of resolving the issue of gluttony. And the devastating effects of gluttony. Not necessarily the Daniel fast, every day, but the Daniel, what Dr. Rick Warren called, and Dr. Amen called, the Daniel plan, which I talked about being a continuation of the Daniel fast. And so think along those lines. Do not think about fad diets. Do not think about putting a band around your stomach. Do not think about freezing off the fat. What needs to happen is confession of sin, repentance of sin, namely the sin of gluttony. Because you can put a band around your stomach, you can freeze off whatever you want to freeze off, you can sweat off whatever you want to sweat off, you can put a wrap around you or whatever you want to do, you can get surgical plastic surgery. But if you don't solve the gluttony problem, you're still going to have a problem. And this is a biblical way to resolve it. Another biblical way is a program called the Hallelujah Diet. You can look that up, and if you want to go that route, you can go that route. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Holy Father God, this is not a message that people want to hear. But it is a message that we need to hear, and we need to confess our sins of gluttony, and we need to repent of our sins of gluttony. Grant us, your Lord God in heaven, your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do just that in every way. And we pray that you would grant us the power of your Holy Spirit to control us in that area. And even today and throughout this week. And Lord God in heaven, help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant and watchful, and mindful of what we're doing and what we're eating and how we're eating and what we're thinking. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to speak to our hearts in a still small voice and to push us to that which is good for us. At the same time, Lord, we pray that you would help people to be not only mindful of their physical issues, but their spiritual issues, that they may come to know you as Savior before it is eternally too late. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by any means necessary and come to know you as Savior. And we pray that you'd revive your people who are already saved wherever they are in the world. Forgive us of our sins and help us to repent of our evil ways. For your glory, your praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, glorify your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, William Thrasher said, "The abstinence is not to be an end in itself, or the fasting is not to be an end in itself, but rather for the purpose of being separated to the Lord and to concentrate on godliness. This kind of fasting reduces the influence of our self-will and invites the Holy Spirit to do a more intense work in us. Ladies and gentlemen, when Daniel and his companions were selected to be a part of the special training that would make them of service to the Babylonian king, they were inducted into a 3-year course of study. In other words, they went to the Babylonian University, the University of Babylon, the state university. The Bible says they were to be taught the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You may remember hearing about the Chaldean people being persecuted by ISIS in recent years. And they are still around, by the way. And that they had been appointed a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank for 3 years. In other words, they were going to be well taken care of. They had room and board paid for. They had scholarships, big time, because they were a part of the smart ones, the bright ones. And so they were no doubt A students. And they had that gift, that ability. That at the end thereof they might stand before the king. After they graduated from the Harvard of that area. Daniel refused this diet, knowing that it was sacrificed unto devils, instead choosing to fast from rich foods and eat only plants and vegetables and drink only water, in keeping with his faith. Some of us find it difficult to even consider doing the Daniel fast for 40 days or 21 days. But Daniel did it for 3 years. we gather. We know from his godly example that he not only honored God with his eating habits, but he honored God by doing the following things. Number one, he prayed. He was a man of prayer. Number two, he studied the Holy Scriptures. Number three, he confessed his sins. Number four, he repented of his sins. And then number five, he withdrew at times from worldly connections and worldly pleasures. How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you doing that? What we are pointing out today is not only about the abstinence, but it's about the change of heart. The heart being right. The spirit being right. The turning away from sin. True repentance. Saying no to that which is evil in you. Saying no to the evil outside of you. By the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the results that followed 3 years at the university and of this lifestyle are impressive. The Bible says at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. This is what you call the favor of God. It's not just because they went without the king's meat and the king's wine. It's because they chose to obey God and be faithful to God. Amen, somebody. God loves that. God honors that. God will bless you as well, and God will raise you up. If he knows that he can trust you once you get to the top. Thank God for that coach and that quarterback last night from the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank God for the offensive coordinator. All three of them are born again Christians. The offense coordinator used to be not only a Christian, not only a pastor, but president of a seminary. The three Philadelphia boys. The three Hebrew boys, if you will, from Philadelphia. Men of prayer. Men of faith. Not trying to be seen, not trying to be anybody. Not braggadocious, humble as they come, but they shook up the world by the grace of God last night, and thanks be to God. That coach, after being put down all the way down into the high school coaching level just a few years ago, down in Louisiana, God raised him back up after being humbled, after being taught, after being chastised, if you will. When God tried them for a while, allowed them to be tried, to see what he was going to do, he remained faithful. God raised him back up to the height, to the highest level in all of sports. The big stage, there's no bigger stage than the Super Bowl. And blessed him to be a winner. He was able to trust him because he's the first coach I've ever heard say, "I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first of all, amen, somebody." Nick Foles was mistreated, kicked around the league from one team to the other. He was first at Philadelphia, did a pretty good job, but somehow, some way, they got rid of him. And he went to another team, and then he went all the way out to Arizona, and then went to another team, and they kicked him around the NFL. He was thinking about quitting, but he did not quit. Somehow he got back into Philadelphia right in the nick of time with a superstar quarterback who's a Christian himself, who has carried himself as a Christian, and we're proud of Brother Wentz as well. Maybe he's the Daniel in the group. We don't know. The three Hebrew boys, and then Brother Carl Wentz, I think his first name is Carl, out and out Christian, loves the Lord. And he led the team to a very stable record. Foles, as it would happen to work out by the grace of God, played phenomenally as a Christian man. He trusted in God. He had faith in God. He played like a Christian. He played with faith, coolness, and calmness. Rarely displayed in this sport. And he did not fail after being kicked around and abused. Beaten up, embarrassed and humiliated before the world. God broke him down and God raised him back up again to the highest level in sports. And he did not fail God. He gave God the honor, the praise and the glory as soon as he got up there as well. And others did as well from that team. You would think this would be the Dallas Cowboys surrounded by 1,000 churches in Dallas. But this is Philadelphia. Not quite the same atmosphere. I've been there. I've preached there many times. But Philadelphia loaded up. God loaded Philadelphia up with his people big time. They have Bible studies. They give God the praise. All of these fellows had peace. And they went out there and slayed the giant. And some people think that Brady is not a Christian. I would question that. I believe he's a Christian. He's not as vocal about it. If you notice Brady, he always goes back to the bench, touchdown or not. And his head is down. He's not reading. I think he's praying. I don't know. But he lost well. He did well. And he has nothing to be ashamed of. And he will go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And maybe one day he'll give God the full praise and glory and honor when he's inducted in the Hall of Fame. All we're saying is, folks, to rise to the top, you must be right with God. You need to do like Daniel and these boys did. And not compromise the word of God. and just say, King, we're not careful to answer about this. We're not going to do that, but we'll do this. And God will raise you to the top. But when you get there, do like the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and don't forget God. Amen, somebody. Give God the praise and give your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the praise. For without God, we can do nothing. Now this outcome, beloved, is not just the result of the eating habits of Daniel and his friends, as I mentioned. Rather, it is the result of an entire lifestyle marked by obedience to God no matter what. Dedication to God and sacrifice to God without compromise. Without compromise. We have too many Christians, too many preachers who are compromising with the devil, compromising with the world, compromising with folk in the church, compromising with their own family members. Things they know to be true. Things they know God does not want them to do and join into. Yet they compromise. By the way, serving God is not a compromising thing. We don't compromise in Christianity. They may compromise in politics. That's why true preachers ought not to be in politics, because you cannot compromise with the world, and you got to stand for God and not compromise with the world. A few years ago, we called for Christians to run. We were talking about Christians in the pews to run, not Christians in the pulpit. We don't need any preachers in government. We need you out here preaching the word of God. Thus saith the Lord, you need to be free to tell the president what you need to tell the president. You don't need to be all tied up in a party, tied up in some kind of convention, and identifying yourself as this and that. You need to identify yourself as a Christian and live or die. I'm going to stand for Christ. I'm going to stand for God. And if the president is wrong, I'll tell him he's wrong. When he's right, I'll support him. But we don't just hook, line, and sinker, just go along with a president and drag Jesus with us. Are you kidding me? We don't compromise the word of God, people. We don't compromise the truth. If you're going to do that, then you are really a politician and not a preacher. So just stay out of the pulpit, or stay out of the political arena, and stand alone with God if necessary. The fasting that Daniel and his friends did was an outgrowth of their commitment to God and his law. How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you there? Are you committed to God? Are you committed to Jesus? Are you committed to the word of God, to the law of God? Or you are a wishy-washy preacher? No matter how low the politician goes, you go with them. And you try to justify what the wicked politician has done, even if the politician is lying, stealing, cheating, and everything else. You back the politician instead of backing God and his word. That makes you a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake yourself. You've been bought and paid for. And that's how you're seen, whether you like it or not. Black or white, red or yellow. I said the same thing when black preachers were silent when President Obama was pulling this country down into the wickedness of homosexuality and transgenderism, and even getting us to the low point where the government and everybody else was being compromised on the issue of whether or not a man who dressed up as a woman can go into a little girl's bathroom. God forbid such wickedness. Particularly in light of all of the wicked sexual harassment and sexual abuse that has taken place. Doctors molesting girls. We certainly don't need men dressed up as women trying to psych people out going into girls' bathrooms. Thank God a change was made. And I hope that the people in leadership now will understand we're just not going to have that foolishness. Because I assure you, just like that father jumped from behind that witness desk and was getting ready to put a whipping on Dr. Nasty, there will be many other fathers. Is everybody all right? I'm not going to call him by his last name. It's Dr. Nasty. Wicked as hell. The sad thing about it, if you had seen that man in the corridors of any hospital, you would have never thought he would do something like that. And you're passing by perverts and pedophiles every day who look professional, who look like they're upright individuals, and they're full of hell and the devil. You can call them Stephen King's title of his latest wicked, demented, demonic movie, Dr. It. Is everybody all right? Because these devils are coming out of the woodwork, out of the sewers of hell. Is everybody okay? That is why, ladies and gentlemen, even on the Daniel fast, and even in this series on the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, our focus is less on food or abstaining from food, and is more on our spiritual outlook and relationship with God. Just as Daniel and his friends refused to eat the king's meat because it would be sinful for them to do so, we must refuse to eat in a gluttonous manner because it would be sinful for us to do so. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your liberating and powerful holy word. Lord, set our souls free, set our spirits free. We thank you for the word liberty, not only in life, but in the spiritual realm. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we thank you that we live in a country that has, at least to this point, highlighted liberty, freedom. And your holy word sets people free. That's why this country has thrived over the years. That's why churches have grown. We thank you for freedom. Now, Lord, set us free from the bondage of overindulging. Set us free from the bondage of gluttony and overdoing it, overeating, just because we can. Have mercy and grace upon us to enjoy the abundance that America provides without being gluttons. Forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults. Forgive us of the sin of gluttony. Deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin in this regard. Break the band of wickedness even on this fast. Lord, you are already working a work of repentance in my life, and I thank you for it, doing a 21-day Daniel fast right before Thanksgiving, which was normally for many years a time of build-up for a magnificent Thanksgiving and Christmas. As you know, Lord, there was a time I took much of November and December and part of January off to enjoy such things as turkey, ham, and other things that I enjoyed. But for the first time in all of these years, you led me to go on a 21-day fast up until Thanksgiving. That is your work, that is not mine, as you well know. And then, of course, we continued with the 40-day fast from January the 10th, and we're still on it right now, having passed the halfway point last Wednesday night. But this time, Lord, I'm not in a hurry to get off of it. I'm not plotting and planning on what I'm going to do as soon as I am free from this obligation of fasting, as I saw it back in those days. In fact, I have no intention on getting off of it, per se, with maybe some minor changes, with the exception of special days and holidays, holy days. Lord, I want to continue in at least on the Daniel plan, going meatless and just focusing on vegetables, pulse, and throughout the remainder of this year and throughout the remainder of my life, not becoming a total vegetarian, because I have concerns about what I've seen in other people's lives. But just to kill the fatted calf, so to speak, on those special, wonderful days. And Sunday may be a part of that. Let your will be done. That might be a good way to ease into less. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lead me, guide me, and all of us in the way that you would have us to go. It took us years to build up this weight. It's going to take us years to get it off properly and right without being left with a whole bunch of flab. Lord, have mercy and grace upon us and help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Deliver us from all of our temptations, faults, and failures. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, some practical information regarding the Daniel fast and the Daniel plan. This information comes from the Daniel plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life, by Dr. Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. The book guides readers to adapt the Daniel fast and continue it as a lifestyle. The authors write, often attempts to improve your health or life fall flat or end too soon because your willpower is hard to build. You know that your willpower must rest on the power of God. And this is very, very important to remember. You cannot do anything good like this without God's help. Your willpower must rest upon the power of God through the power of His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word. But it also grows stronger with a clear mind and self-control. To overcome a lack of willpower, you must learn the two most important words in the English language when it comes to your health. And those two words are, then what? Ask yourself, then what will happen if I eat this? Then what will happen if I don't exercise? keeping these two words at the top of your mind and engaging in the right habits, such as getting enough sleep and eating right, will make a dramatic difference in your mental and physical health, which in turn will help your friendships and your familyship and your connection with God. Clear focus and a healthy mind don't preclude failure on this journey. Failure is a part of everyone's journey, but it is your attitude towards failure that will determine your ultimate success. Focus and a healthy mind can help you have the right attitude towards failure. Failure does not have to defeat or derail you. It can actually increase your chances of ultimate success. The Daniel Plan encourages you to turn bad days into good information and to study your failures. Learning from your mistakes helps to prevent them in the future. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Are you concerned about your spiritual life, your soul and your spirit, as you are about your body? Because one day when you die, your body will go to the funeral home and then to the grave. Your soul will immediately go to hell if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to tell you how you can be saved today. The Bible says very clearly, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of pain and torment, my dear friends. Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world by dying on the cross for our sins as the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was buried and rose again, and all you have to do is believe in him. As I said earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He suffered so that you will not have to suffer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he'll save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to be saved today? Nobody's going to make you. That's what one of the things I love about God. God does not make you do anything. God leaves it up to you. He will encourage you. He will exhort you. He will speak to your heart. He's going to do everything he can to save you, but he's not going to touch your will and make you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. This is something that through his love and his grace that he is wooing you to do, loving you to do. He wants you to do it because he wants you to be saved from hell, not only to be saved from hell, but to be saved to heaven so that he can spend eternity with you. Now, why he wants to be our friend, I don't know. You have to ask him when he gets there. But I do know he is the only, one and only very loving God. His love is amazing. His grace is amazing. His favor and long suffering is absolutely amazing. I'm just shocked out of my mind every day at the love of God. God loves you, and he wants you to go to heaven so that he could spend eternity with you. He didn't create you for nothing. He created you because he loves you, and he wants to fellowship with you. And so, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can know God in a very real sense. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, such as lust for people and things that are not mine, such as stealing things that are not mine, such as lying, such as dishonoring my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, that I have sinned in your sight, and I pray that you would save my wretched soul. Because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I understand that I don't deserve your blessings. I don't deserve your salvation, but I thank you for it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, beloved, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who died on the cross for your sins, went through hell and went to hell, was buried and rose again, and is your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other many emails that you might be watching from that platform that has something different. So just whatever is best for you. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.